Hi, Elise Castle.
Hey, Mike Jensen.
It's real hot out.
Real hot out. Oh, shit.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Don't say S.
Thank you, Magda. I completely forgot about Butthole Dawn.
Well, we've just gotten started.
I know, but I have some, and I, like, haven't...
All right, well, I'll be honest by just saying we're here to talk about A Woman's Right to Shoes. Clever. This originally debuted August 17th, 2003, directed by...
Butthole Dawn.
Okay.
Allison wrote in and said she was surprised that we didn't think that the guy Miranda talks to at bed reminds us of Skipper. Like a grown-up Skipper.
Oh, he didn't really to me.
Oh, I mean, I could see it. I could see the glasses, but mostly Butthole Dawn Skipper. Like, where is Skipper?
I told you forever ago that we're never going to see him again.
I know, but you're just rude, and I think that sometimes you are just rude to me to be rude. So, anywho. And then also a second Butthole Dawn. Emily sent me an article that was from Entertainment Weekly, a Mike Jensen favorite.
True.
Still gets it delivered. Mm-hmm. And it was about Down the Hatch. And it was an Entertainment Weekly article about a bar suing Sex and the City.
That's probably where I read it. That would make sense.
Yeah, over drug allegations. And in the Entertainment Weekly article, Down the Hatch's lawyers are insisting that it's not that kind of joint. They also go on to say in this article that they were threatening to seek a temporary restraining order to keep the show from airing. That was apparently in the New York Post. And producers did not film at Down the Hatch, they're saying here.
Oh, interesting. It looks so much like it.
Yeah. Still, the script not only identifies the drug den as Down the Hatch, but calls it smelly and a dump as well. So this is all just taken, like, from this Entertainment Weekly article, what I'm saying here. So I guess, apparently, the episode that aired must have said Down the Hatch. And
yeah,
they must
it's
have
funny.
Gone back in and redubbed it.
I thought about that as we were talking about it, that I had a memory of that being the case, that it did originally say the actual name.
Right. So, in the New York Post article, the lawyer said that this can cause enormous damage to the bar's reputation. The police could start hounding us. The owners could suddenly have problems if they apply for future liquor licenses, which makes sense, you know? And especially if they didn't actually film there.
Right.
You know, it would probably be, as a business owner, I think I would be a little bit disturbed if you didn't even, like, film at my place, and then you're sitting there saying all this stuff about it. So
that's
who knows?
They did a good set decoration job, because I
There's
definitely thought it was...
three sides to every story.
Sure.
Your side, Mike. My side, Mike.
And the truth.
And the truth, which is usually my side.
Sure. Can we continue?
Yeah.
Okay. So this was directed by Tim Van Patten. This is his first episode. He'll direct the next episode, and then he will actually direct the two finale episodes. So interesting that he was brought in to do these very, you know, ending, you know, kind of important episodes.
Yeah.
But he had already been directing The Sopranos.
Wait, do you think this episode's that important?
No, but he's going to direct the two finales.
Oh, okay.
Is more what I mean.
Okay.
So, yeah, he's been directing The Sopranos. He's going to direct the first two Game of Thrones. He is going to be Emmy nominated for directing Sex and the City. And he's going to win for producing The Pacific and for directing Boardwalk Empire. So they brought in a heavy hitter to do some stuff at the end. This is written by Jenny Bix. We have our DVD recap. Carrie and Stanford attend a baby shower thrown by their friends Kira and Chuck. Miranda finds herself with three separate problems: an open apartment in her building, Brady suffering from the chicken pox, and her own growing need for male companionship. Charlotte and Harry are still glowing in their post-wedding bliss, but the new bride has a slight problem adjusting to living with her husband's habits. Samantha's dislike for misbehaving children comes to a head in a fancy restaurant. So we're in our favorite neighborhood.
We are, yes. We are right by Madison Square Park.
Yeah. And weekends are all about buying.
For a single New Yorker.
Vogue, fresh flowers, and gifts for previously single New Yorkers.
I've really only done the latter. Or the last. The third.
The third. Yeah, I've already confessed that I'm not good at buying gifts. So.
No, but you bought yourself flowers. You used to do that a lot.
I used to buy myself flowers. That is true.
Yeah, I used to for a little bit, and then I'm never home. So I just didn't. And I don't buy Vogue because there's too many advertisements, which I think is why a lot of people do buy Vogue.
Yeah.
Because they like the advertisements. But yes, gifts for previously single New Yorkers, which just means like registries of all sorts.
Yeah, it's all about the registry.
And the registry montage happens.
Yes.
I'll take the Newport soup ladle and three Bimini steak knives, the baby peck list, the burpee blanket. Okay, what is left? Fine, I'll take four espresso cups and a pepper grinder.
Is it a Williams Sonoma?
It might be. I couldn't really
Williams
tell.
It looks Williams Sonoma-y. It looks Bed Bath & Beyond-y. I think a lot of people just buy things online now for registries, but I do like to go to the store and see what I'm getting.
I did recently buy something off a registry for our friend Katie, who had a baby, but mainly because I knew...
I know what it is.
I knew there was going to be that thing where you like... suck the baby snot, and it's the grossest.
The nose Frida.
Yeah, it's
the nose
really
Frida, which all of my friends that are mothers swear by, and I'm sure it's a very genius invention. And also, your own baby's stuff doesn't bother you, you know. And
also,
like my stuff
really,
doesn't
like, the
bother
way that, the way that
I
it
understand.
Works. It doesn't.
We don't
really...
have to talk about it anymore.
I was like, that's gonna be on there. I need to buy that. I bought it for her, and on the card wrote, "I got this for you because it's disgusting." So we're going to celebrate the arrival of baby boy Bronson.
Here's my issue with this.
Okay.
Baby boy Bronson is already here.
Yeah, it is. You don't usually have a baby shower after the baby's born.
And a lot of people don't always have baby showers for second or third babies.
Right.
I believe then they have like these things called sprinkles.
Oh.
It's like when, because, you know, they just, you have a lot of the same stuff, and a lot of times other parents give you things, and, but I know they have sprinkles because there are some things that, like, you don't always, that
yeah,
you need.
I guess that I excuse this by just thinking maybe they chose to have the shower after the baby was born to know what gender the baby would be identified with at birth. Just a thought. I don't know.
Or just what sex the baby is.
Sure. I wasn't sure which one we were using.
Yeah. So sex is what, sex is what you are born with.
Okay.
Right? You're... Mike and I are not qualified enough to talk about this right now. We're too tired. Sex is what you're born with. Gender is what you identify with. But I doubt that was it. I bet you Kira was just like, let's
I want to have a party.
Yeah, because this party isn't for the baby anyway.
No, definitely not. So they're in an old school elevator. I just sort of thought about that because you don't really see these as much anymore.
I hope not. They're scary.
And they're sort of like, what did you get? What did you get?
Hey, what you got in there, Stanny?
A Peter Rabbit dish set with matching bib.
Dang, you snagged that. Oh, thanks to you, I was left with the little me chair.
Oh, and get this. I also got him a CD of Free to Be You and Me.
Mike, do you want to talk about Free to Be You and Me? Because I don't know much about it.
I was in Free to Be You and Me in college.
This was before my time.
Me being in college wasn't before your time.
No, but this, the whole, I've gone my whole life without anyone ever talking to me about Free to Be You and Me.
Yeah, Free to Be You and Me was a thing when I was a little kid. But honestly, like, I remember it, but I don't have super vivid memories of it. But there were songs. There was, like, the William Wants a Doll song. I played William. You know,
and is that about... is that about like a gay kid, or is that about
boys
liking girl things?
Correct.
I'm doing air quotes right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, when I did the show in college, there was a discussion that, like, I think that they didn't want to present it as like Will was gay. It was just that he didn't behave as other little boys did, because he also liked playing ball. They point that out in the song. So they kind of pull their punch a little bit.
I get letters from Marlo Thomas sometimes.
Oh, that's nice.
Mostly because I donate to St. Jude's. But
mostly.
Sometimes she just checks in.
Sup, girl?
All right, 100% of the time because I donate to St. Jude's.
So Margo greets them and says the presents go there and the shoes go there. This isn't really that unusual in New York City. I guess maybe she hasn't gone to a lot of parties for friends that have kids.
Here's the thing. I think it's not unusual in New York City. It's not unusual to take your shoes off at someone's home. I usually just do that. It's kind of just something I do. However, even my friends who are big shoes off people, when they entertain, they don't do that.
Yeah, I think if you don't live in New York City, this seems very weird. But it actually really does make sense. Like,
no, it does
I don't
make
really
sense.
Wear my shoes in my apartment.
Right, but also if you were having like a baby shower at your house and you had a huge house, or you were throwing a really nice party where people are getting dressed up, it looks weird to see a bunch of adults walking around in like socks and
Yeah, I kind of just think maybe you just mop afterwards.
Right, that's my thing. Like, in this event, you'd be like, okay.
But I also...
But then we wouldn't have this episode.
Sure. And also, there are definitely people that are like this.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't unheard of. And I like that, like, they'd really appreciate it, but just really, like, you have to do it.
Yeah.
And Carrie says she would have compensated with a big hat. She is teeny.
She says, but this is an outfit. And part of it looks, to me, her outfit looks like a fake Renaissance fair outfit. Like, that top looks kind of corsety. She also matches Stanford.
Okay.
And also, I really noticed Carrie's overacting in this episode. I really did.
Okay. I didn't. I think she's perfect. So, I do think that she probably should have put those shoes in a somewhere less conspicuous. And I guess that's me knowing what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, if I had, like, $485 pair of shoes, I would, like, tuck them under something.
Maybe, but also it's, you know, this woman...
No, not maybe. I would.
Okay. But also in this situation, I don't think anyone that is friends with Kira needs to steal those shoes or would steal those shoes, you would think.
You would think. Once again, $500 shoes, I'm going to hide those somewhere.
Now I'm so teeny, I might bump my head on the coffee table.
And we meet Kira Bronson, who used to be a fashion photographer and is now Ann Geddes, apparently.
Right, that's what I wrote. Kira was a photographer of anorexic women on beds at Chelsea Hotel, and now she's basically Ann Geddes.
Yeah.
That's what exactly what I wrote.
So she's played by Tatum O'Neill.
Who I really only know from that documentary author, the J.T. Leroy story.
Because
they talk about
yeah.
She was like one of the downtown New York celebrities who was like obsessed with J.T. Leroy. If you don't know this story, I recommend it. It's fascinating.
It is very interesting. Yeah, she has an Academy Award. She won it when she was 9 for a movie called Paper Moon.
I've got to go. Other people need drinks, and by others, I mean me.
Waiter, there's a baby in my drink.
So we cut to Miranda at a co-op meeting.
Mm-hmm.
They're about to interview Dr. Robert Meads.
Look, we all want to find the perfect tenant for 10G. All I'm asking is that we not prolong the interview.
So Brady has the chicken pox, mm-hmm. and Mrs. McCaffrey has a cataract.
Oh, can we talk about Mrs. McCaffrey for a second?
Yes, because I know where you know her from.
Okay, Dolores Duffy. Well, first of all, I didn't realize I knew her at first. I just said, I have a cataract. I love her. I loved everything about her. I was like, this actress is brilliant. Her delivery is wonderful. So then when I was researching her, I realized that she plays Iris Puffybush on Strangers with Candy, who is like the assistant to the principal. But also in season 2, I believe, there is an episode where there's the artificial flower plant. And Iris has this quote. She talks about, like, on career day, where you should work. Dreams are a great thing, but you know something? They take a lot of energy. But that's okay. There's a job waiting for you down the block from your house that doesn't require a thought in your head or a hope in your heart. So come on down and work for the artificial flower factory. Why fight it? Okay, thank you. It's just so... And she has the same type of delivery. Like,
uh-huh.
She's so good. That's it. That's all.
I think someone wants her career.
Sure. She passed away in 2011.
Yes. So.
Oh, also another fun fact about her. She was in the 1956 Olympics.
Really?
As a sprinter. Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Sorry. Dolores Duffy. Yes. Because I Googled her and it came up Dolores Duffy, Dolores Dwyer, American actress. And I was like, no, this can't be her because it says Dolores Dwyer was an American sprinter. She competed in the women's 200 meters event at the 1952 Summer Olympics. In her later life, she became an actress, which included a role on the television show Sex and the City.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's just like straight from her Wikipedia article.
What a life.
Yeah, so go Dolores.
Yeah.
And here I am.
So I wrote, in walks Blair Underwood and he can get it.
Who's Blair Underwood?
He's an actor.
I mean, he's been in a ton of things.
yeah,
but like, what do you know him the most from? I thought maybe like The Good Wife or Good Fight. He's in one of those.
I think of him mostly. He was on a TV show that didn't last very long called... He was on The Good Wife.
Mm-hmm.
He was on a short... The Event was the name of a TV show that he was on for a while. He was on Dirty Sexy Money.
Okay. I mean, I know him. I know the name.
Yeah, but he was recently in the When They See Us miniseries.
The interesting thing is when you said Blair Underwood... I thought that was a character he had played in another show, because I know that name, but that's his real name.
That's his real name,
yeah,
yes.
And he can get it, says Mike Jensen.
Yeah, Blair Underwood, hey, how are you?
And suddenly, Miranda wasn't so bored in her board meeting.
I wrote, she kind of takes over and it's awkward for everyone.
Hi, I'm Miranda Hobbs and this is everyone else, is exactly what she says.
And then just all of her stuff, where like others try to ask questions, she's like, please, can we just take our time?
On page 4 of your tax return.
Please. We'll get to it.
Were you thinking at all during this of the Kristen Chenoweth version of 14G, the girl in 14G that was the cut song from Thoroughly Modern Millie?
What song is that?
Just moved in to 14G. You've never heard that song? Uh-uh. Oh, it's on her album Let Yourself Go.
Okay.
But I believe it was a cut song from Thoroughly Modern Millie. But Robert Leeds in 10G is...
Yeah. It could be. So Harry's on the phone...
He likes to drink a lot of tea.
Yeah, Charlotte's cleaning up a lot of tea bags.
Mm-hmm.
And we get that great, like, I'm making up a term right here, but I think of it like the cracked frame shot where, like, both sides of the screen are in focus.
Yeah.
So Charlotte's in the background in focus, and that huge tea bag is in the foreground.
And from this moment, my brain was already where Samantha's brain is, so...
Oh, you're
call me
like
disgusting.
Samantha, yeah. So we're back at the meeting, which has lasted a half an hour.
Yeah. Well, he's perfect.
Yeah. We find out that he has high alimony, and he's never owned.
It's the single ones who always throw the wild parties with all the girls.
And he is a doctor for the NBA. I don't know if we talked about this, but...
Oh, yeah. I don't know if we brought that up either. But and then I just like that Miranda silently uses white guilt on everyone.
Okay. I think we all know what's not being said here.
So now we're back at the baby shower. And that is... I did put a question mark there, because this is when I did sort of bump on, like, wait, why is we having a baby shower when the baby's already
here? Yeah.
And it's like her fourth kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. They go to... They're just like smoking pot and sitting on the couch at this point.
Yeah. I said... Yeah, it's smoking pot at this weird party, and they're saying, well, we got the house, but we couldn't get a table at Nick and Tony's, which is a big restaurant in Sag Harbor.
Ah, gotcha.
I know someone who used to work there.
And they go to leave, and her shoes are gone.
Mm-hmm.
It's midnight, he's gay, he has to start his night.
I'm going to start using that when I want to leave somewhere and you're with me.
Because we're out so often at midnight.
Yeah.
Was there another room for the shoes?
No.
Uh-uh.
Well... Mine seem to have gone missing.
She tells them, and no one seems to really care.
God, Carrie, I'm sorry. I just can't imagine where your shoes went.
So yeah, Kira, I don't like Kira. And Kira says, you know, oh, well, sure, they'll turn up. This happened to me once.
Oh, really?
With a coat.
Oh.
Yes. So I was at a party, and it was a work event many years ago. It was like a work party, and it was in the winter, and February, and my coat... Like, everyone's coats were on the same table. It wasn't a nice coat. It was, like, I really liked the coat, but... And luckily, I didn't have much in my pockets of the coat except for my keys. And it got stolen. At the end of the night, I was the only sober one there. Everyone else was very drunk. And I couldn't find my coat. And I'm the one trying to help everyone else find their stuff, and I can't find my coat. And I know that no one purposely took it. I think someone took it home on accident, drunk, because it was just, like, a black... pea-ish coat, like a black pea coat. And they probably were too embarrassed once they got home to say they took it. But now I'm in the East Village in February with no coat and no way to get into my apartment. So I had to go where my friends were going, which happened to be this gay bar next to the Cock. Uh-huh. Or maybe it was the Cock, but I think it was a place called Urge, which was next to the Cock. So now I'm sitting there as a completely sober woman at 2 a.m, just talking to this go-go boy, telling him, I don't have a coat. And I'm freezing.
And he's just trying to earn a dollar.
Yeah, and I gave him a dollar because I had a dollar. Oh. I just didn't have a coat. Probably gave him 2.
Yeah, so Kira's going to loan some shoes.
And of course, they're like her ugliest shoes.
Her sneakers were on the sidewalk.
They say you shouldn't judge until you've walked a mile in someone else's shoes. I made it 6 blocks.
And I guess I hadn't really noticed Carrie's tights until this moment.
Oh, I didn't notice them at all.
Oh, yeah. She has some very interesting, like, she referenced, like, this is an outfit. And right. Part of the outfit are these very strangely patterned tights.
Oh, I did remember those. Yeah. That's why I thought this actually looks like a Broadway costume for a medieval show. You know, where, like, all the chorus girls would be in bright patterns, like very Kiss Me Kate or Something Rotten.
Gotcha.
Maybe even a Spamalot.
So we're at Pastis?
Are we? Okay.
There's a P in the middle of the floor.
It looks too fancy.
To me, it looks like Pastis, except for I don't remember there being, like, those counters at the front.
I thought maybe it was, like, the palace.
Oh, I don't know. Someone else for sure let me know. But it has the decor of Pastis, just the front didn't look
quite
right.
I've never been to Pastis, but we shall soon.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just wrote fancy ladies at lunch.
And Miranda is really enjoying her desserts.
Yeah, Miranda is enjoying her dessert. And we discover here that Miranda's like not one of those women that had a baby and now loves babies.
Right.
No, she likes her own. That's it.
Who would steal shoes from a party?
Why in hell did you take your shoes off to begin with?
We had to.
Kira must have been mortified.
Actually, I kept waiting for the mortification that never came. She just said they might turn up and sent me home.
Those shoes are not turning up anywhere but a pawn shop in Brooklyn.
My apartment got robbed once, and the first thing everyone told me, including the police, was like, keep an eye out on Craigslist. That's going to help us.
Oh, really? Did you find anything?
No.
Okay. Miranda says that technically Kira is responsible.
Well, legally she owes you for them.
Oh, I can't ask her to pay for my shoes.
Why not? If you gave a party and told her to leave her baby outside in the hall, and her baby was missing at the end of the night, believe me, there'd be payback.
That is the craziest thing I've ever heard. Children are not shoes.
I know, I'm not saying it.
You have every right to be upset about your shoes. I am so sick of these people with their children. I'm telling you, they're everywhere.
I don't know. Kids don't bother me. Like, I know there are people, even my friends that have children, that feel strongly about, and I guess this makes sense. My friends that have children sometimes are the ones that feel very strongly about kids being places where they don't think kids should be. And that's probably because they're like, I'm out for the night without my kids.
Right.
Now there's kids.
Yeah, I don't know. I do feel like there are kid-appropriate places to go and not kid-appropriate places to go. And part of it depends on how your kid behaves, I suppose.
Well,
with the knowledge that some kids, like, kids don't necessarily always have the ability to, like, sit still and not make any noise. Like, they're
right.
kids.
And also, kids don't want to be in half the places there.
That's probably true.
Hey, so how goes the big matrimonial move-in?
Good. I'm just trying to learn to compromise, because sometimes I can be a little rigid.
Oh,
no. That's not true at all.
There's just one thing, and it's small, but we have a teabag situation.
And Samantha has advice.
Oh, I understand. Just breathe through your nose.
But I think more than anything, I just like Miranda's, like, when she gets it.
Yeah, oh, is, I understand.
Because they hang and the dipping.
Yeah.
And that's now, pretty good.
And now I lost my shoes and my appetite. And then before we cut away to back to Harry and Charlotte, Samantha does this, like, throwaway quote that I love where she just goes, this is very good. And I don't know if she's talking about the dessert or she's just, like, pleased with herself for like, educating the girls. But she's like, this is very good. It's great.
So, yeah, Harry loves living with Charlotte.
Well, I've been really trying to watch my ass, you know, now that I'm living in your house.
It's our house now. I want you to be yourself.
And he says, I'm a bull in a china shop. And I think at this point, Charlotte kind of feels bad. And she is like, no, you're a bull in our china shop.
Yeah. What I wrote for the first of, like, two times is I wrote, this is actually good and quite healthy.
Yeah, no, it's great.
Like, something was bothering her, so she brought it up.
Yeah, and you can tell she loves him so much, and he loves her so much. And I think that as far as compromise in a relationship works, they're learning how to do it.
Yeah, this is healthy. So Robert and Miranda on the elevator.
Welcome to the building.
I have a feeling you had a little something to do with that.
I do think it's funny that she tells him that he may owe her one. I mean, it's a reference to the fact that she helped get him into the building.
Right.
But I kind of want to be like, don't tell him that.
Yeah.
Don't tell him, like, no one else on the board wanted you to live here.
You have a puck.
And at first, I was thinking, rude, why are you pointing out her blemishes? Second, how do you know that? Third, oh yeah, he's a doctor.
Right.
I must have gotten it for my kid.
Oh, I thought you were single.
I am.
So they're at her place and he's going to help her? So it was interesting that, like, he comes to her place with her.
Yeah. I can't imagine Miranda being like, sure, come over, you know.
Well, she just discovered all the hot men that live in New York City, so no, she's putting herself out there
and
more.
And she likes him, and he is very attractive.
Yeah. And he picks up Brady and says he wants one someday.
Yeah, so he picks up Brady. She's going to go get the lotion and the cotton balls.
Yeah, and, it, you know, he is sort of, like, applying lotion to her face.
You know, I could do this myself.
Yeah, but I'm a professional.
And this is when Magda walks in.
And nice to meet you.
I'll take baby from that.
She doesn't like him. Magda is team me. I'm sitting here, and I gotta be honest. You know, where's Steve, number one? You know, I just want Miranda and Steve to be together. This guy's very nice. He's very attractive. But we're just wasting time till she gets back with Steve. Predictions.
We get some flirty cotton ball action.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just what the doctor ordered.
Yeah, and he can't get chicken pox because he had them when he was four.
Fun fact.
So apparently Miranda's never had them.
I guess so. I had chickenpox 3 times. Yes.
Wow.
So you can have them more than once.
Yeah.
They were less bad each time.
Okay.
But I did, in fact, have them three times.
Why do you keep getting them?
I mean, it was all within, like, a 6 to 7 year period. It was all when I was a kid through, like, my early teen years.
You should get the shingles shot.
Took a minute for it to... You think after three times I might still get the shingles?
Yeah. I think you're probably going to get the shingles very soon.
So Carrie's returning the sneakers, mm-hmm. and she sort of like asks about news on my shoes.
You know, no, it's weird.
Kira has this moment where she's like, Carrie, I should have offered to pay you for them.
Yeah, at first she does not care at all. Like,
right.
She does not care much. And then, yeah, then she offers to pay them.
And this is a very weird situation. I don't know what I'd do. I would definitely offer. I would have offered from the beginning, as that person said. I'm so sorry this happened. What can I do? And I think even before I'd offer to pay for them, I would have personally reached out to every person at the party and said, listen, like, we all were smoking a lot of pot. We were drinking. Like, did you by any chance accidentally take Carrie's shoes home? I promise I won't even tell her that it was you. I might even make up a lie saying... Carrie's just stressed out because they weren't even hers. She borrowed them from you know, like, I would, like, uh-huh. do a lot of trying to make it comfortable. And then I would have offered. I probably wouldn't accept the money. That would be very uncomfortable for me.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, Carrie, I like that Carrie has to take her shoes off again in order to, like, walk into the apartment. Yeah, Carrie says they were $485, which is, in fact, insane. But it's not okay when Kira says it.
No. And Kira not only goes on to say that that's insane... But says, no offense, but we shouldn't have to pay for your extravagant lifestyle. This coming from the woman who just bought a house in Sag Harbor.
I'll give you $200.
Okay, this is an awkward conversation.
I'm sorry, I just think that's crazy to spend that much on shoes.
You know how much Manolos are. You used to wear Manolos.
Sure. Before I had a real life.
And I just put this conversation enrages
yes.
me.
It's your choice to buy shoes that expensive?
Yeah, I mean, and yeah, it is. But it wasn't her choice to take them off to go to your party.
Coming from someone who has registered for a lot of things.
Yeah. So, yeah, she shoe-shamed me.
She's had two cesareans and a lobotomy.
She owes you for those shoes.
No, it's not about the money. I don't care about the money. I'm talking about a woman's right to shoes.
And, like, why did she have to shame me? And Miranda says it's because she's trapped in a hell of her own making. Which, it's that thing of, like, I don't know. She doesn't seem to be in hell. Like, she seems like she actually really enjoys her life that she has now. Miranda's chicken pox are worse.
Full out.
If there wasn't a Jules and Mimi marathon on BBC America this weekend, I'd have jumped out the window.
Hey, speaking of handsome black men.
This is something that I just thought was interesting, and I don't necessarily know if this is just Sex and the City being insensitive in 2003, but, like, the fact that his race was something that Carrie felt the need to bring up in this moment.
Yeah, but now we're dealing with when
the
I have
Jules
a
Jules and Mimi thing.
Sure. But if I'm having a conversation, a casual conversation with someone, I'm not thinking about that as much.
Right, I'm not either, but I'm just saying it's interesting that I don't think if he was any other race, Carrie would have brought it up. She wouldn't have been like, oh, well, now that we're talking about your new white boyfriend, how about
friends?
Yeah,
but you might say your new Latin boyfriend or
right,
your new Italian boyfriend.
But, yeah, I guess. Okay.
So I don't know. I mean, I think that it's easy to get into that place of, like, should we talk about race at all? But, like, we talk about race.
Yeah, everyone does.
So, yeah, who knows?
I just thought it was, like, I just like to bring up the things that I don't necessarily would have been in. I don't think that line would have been in this script in 2019. That's just it. It's not like I think anything in it was like a conversation of race. I just like to wonder that.
Yeah, and I wrote that Miranda's clearly told Carrie. Yeah, we start talking about celebrating other people's life choices.
Mm-hmm.
Is acceptance really such a childish concept? Or did we have it right all along?
And we get to the question.
When did we stop being free to be you and me?
And I think for some... I don't know. I hope that I mean, though I say, you know, over the top things about people having children, I still celebrate when my friends have children. Like, I hope that I'm not like that.
No, you're not.
But I think that one sometimes when others make the choice that we wouldn't make, it's easy for us to say, why would you make that choice?
Yeah,
like,
and
why
also
would that
for
be
me,
what you want?
When others make choices that I haven't made, even though I don't want those things always, and I'm not even talking about children. I'm talking about when someone says, and I've said this before, when someone says they're moving out of New York,
sure.
or when someone says it's time for me to, like, hang up the dream and get a real job, using air quotes right now again. Like, I immediately start thinking about why I should be doing those things too. And I think it's a lot of self-reflection. And anytime anyone says anything, I'm always, partially because we're selfish people, and I'm using we're as, like, the world, And we're insecure. You know, I'm insecure. So I sit there and I'm like, okay, well, should I be doing this diet? Should I be doing this thing? Should I be?
And I think the difference is...
Should I be? That's a weird word.
Should I be? I think the difference is...
Got a real case of the shoulds.
You're a self-aware person.
Yeah.
So you're able to say, how would this apply to me? Whereas I think most human beings are not terribly self-aware and go right to the why would you choose that place.
Right.
Like, why would you do that? It's a very non-empathetic thing. And I think that you're an empathetic person where you put yourself in other people's shoes. Probably. But I'd rather be too empathetic than not empathetic at all. So Harry's naked, but very proud that he's throwing away his tea bag.
While singing Mac the Knife.
Yeah. And then she, because he's naked, so she's like,
Are you going to take a shower?
In a little while.
And I do worry about those white chairs. And it seems like everything is white.
Yeah.
Like every surface in their apartment is white.
And I always think that too when I see people with an all white bedroom. And like, it does. It does look so nice and so clean and so pretty. And I would just, once again, like I said with that Hamptons party, I would like piss myself, shit myself, and start my period.
So yeah, he's naked a lot. So Carrie calls Kira to clear the air.
I haven't even thought about that, yeah. Carrie. You must have a lot of time on your hands. They're doing everything they can to make
raging.
You hate this character. And also, how many times did you think of Carrie Butler and Xanadu when they keep saying Kira? That's all I thought of. She's the only like Kira I know.
I like that, like, you're the young, I'm calling you young now, musical theater, who like goes right to Xanadu the musical.
Well, I have seen Xanadu the movie,
okay.
And I'm well aware of it. I just couldn't remember if in the movie her name was Kira as well.
I think that it is. I honestly have seen it one time.
Yeah, that's all I really needed to see of it.
Yeah, you must have a lot of free time. Oh, makes me so angry. And I wrote that her daughter's an idiot who thinks Santa calls on the telephone.
Hello, Santa.
I just didn't understand it. Hello? Hello, Santa? Like, I didn't.
Idiot.
Mike.
But Carrie kind of is Santa because she's bought a lot of gifts. So yeah. I wrote a few things here. I wrote that the Barnes & Noble in the background is actually on Fifth Avenue, but it no longer exists.
Is it the one that was like in the Flatiron? Like Fifth Avenue and like...
Fifth Avenue between 18th and 17th.
Yes, that doesn't exist anymore.
I
was there
believe
pretty
it
recently,
does.
So it must
maybe
have
I'm
closed.
Wrong. Well, yeah, I think that it closed recently, but yeah. we'll verify that and or maybe I'll cut that out.
Because there's also one right over on Union Square.
Correct. And that one still exists.
Yes.
I'll have to look. The thing that I looked up said that it had closed.
No, it could have. I was there not like very recently, but ish.
I also wrote that Charlotte has a carry purse.
I didn't see it.
She's wearing a very demure outfit, and then her bag is like a rainbow with feathers coming off of it. It just feels like much more something that like Carrie or Samantha would carry around. And they're walking down Fifth Avenue.
Mm-hmm, with Tasty D.
Yeah, which I didn't notice at first.
Oh, I noticed it. Right. It was like the first, I'm like, ice cream?
I just don't like Tasty D very much. Don't sue me.
Tasty Delight, you don't like it?
I would rather have a 16 Handles or a...
Well, I think at the time, though, Pinkberry?
Pinkberry.
No, but at the time, I think Tasty Delight was, like, extraordinary.
It was a huge craze.
It was new.
But it tastes like sweet. Like, it doesn't, like... If you had me taste something and ask me what flavor it is, I'd be like, I don't know. And then you'd be like,
I just haven't had it in a while, but I liked it. I really did like it. I think it's, but at the time, there wasn't all those other things. And when you think about like 16 Handles or those other frozen yogurt places where you add, a lot of it's about the topping because you're adding so much stuff to it.
I guess so.
I don't know.
So, yeah, she spent $2,300 celebrating Kira's choices.
Mm-hmm. And the single people?
Nothing.
Get bubkis.
Yeah, you only get celebrated if you get married or have kids. And I
thought about that.
Yeah, it is true.
We have birthdays.
Oh, no. We all have birthdays. That's a wash. I am talking about the single gal. Hallmark doesn't make a congratulations, you didn't marry the wrong guy card.
And I do, I don't know if you notice all the people watching.
Mm-mm.
A lot of times when they're doing street scenes, if you just look in the background, there are like 20 people just like watching what's happening.
I knew this street right away because it's one of my like favorite places.
I honestly thought about that.
About me.
I was like, Elise loves to go shopping right here.
Yeah, because there's a J. Crew, there's a Madewell, there's an Anthropology, there's a Gap. Like it's all like right on this stretch. It's not crazy crowded. There's
all
Kate Spade, there's a Cole Haan. And mind you, I'm not that fancy. I love a clearance rack. And Anthropology and J.Crew are always having additional 50% off clearance.
Meanwhile, Samantha was trying to have a working lunch.
We don't allow cell phones, and I kind of wish that was the same at restaurants.
Yeah, I think some restaurants still are like that. I've definitely walked into a restaurant where it has a sign of no cell phones.
Can you look at them?
You just can't speak.
Because I have, I've had like a very busy couple of weeks, and I have been like going out to eat by myself, and I brought books with me, and it's just so nice to sit and read a book.
I was that weirdo that used to go to, when my friend was a bartender down near Houston Street, I would go in with a book because I was there to see her, but I was also like, she was working, so I would sit with my book, and I didn't want to talk to random strangers at a bar.
And then all your words got blurred in the book and you had to put it down.
I did just fine. Yeah, there's no cell phones, but children are okay.
Yeah, and then she goes to talk to this woman about Seamus, which I think is too much. And Seamus throws his pesto, which, kudos, Seamus. But I wanted Samantha to just wear it like a brooch.
We had very different feelings about this. I wrote this, child throws his pasta at Samantha, the mother barely cares, and I don't hit anybody because physical violence is wrong. I don't like this episode.
I know, but I think the mother's kind of like, this woman's kind of being a B-word, which she is. And I think that she's not condoning her child throwing the pasta, but it's a comedy.
I did not find this scene funny.
I just like the pasta like dripping.
Enraging. Oh. And then there is some debate about, is Samantha leaving? Because she didn't take her phone.
She didn't pay her check.
Well, I'm fine with her not paying her check. I think she should walk out of the restaurant and not pay for anything. Because I hate this restaurant and everything that's happening in it. But she also left her planner and her cell phone behind. So there's some debate as to, like, she just left her stuff or if she's just going to the bathroom. Anyway, it's up for interpretation. So Charlotte is home from tennis practice.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just kidding. That's just what it looks like to me.
I was like, okay. And Harry wants to bring back cocktail hour.
Yeah. He sits on the, of course, white couch.
Teabagging it.
Yeah, and she confesses the nude thing kind of bothers her.
Oh, I get it. We got kind of an ass white couch situation here.
She just wants something in between the ass and the white couch.
See? This was handled correctly.
Yeah. Oh, I'll put on shorts. Could you?
Yeah.
And then beat now.
And he goes and she brushes some tiny poo particles off the couch, which is probably not really what happened, but I'm like, what did you just do?
Yeah. I mean, he is just like one messy fart away from ruining that whole couch. Yeah.
Everything's white. Put some shorts on. So Miranda's watching Jules and Mimi, and I couldn't help but wonder, see what I did there?
Mm-hmm.
If this wasn't always meant to be foreshadowing.
Me too.
Yeah, and I think probably it was, because Michael Patrick King was very open that they had plotted out pretty much everything.
Okay.
So I wonder if Jules and Mimi had been a thing with the knowledge that they were going to cast Blair Underwood to play this role. I'd be curious to know if he has anything to say about that, Michael Patrick King. And someone's at the door. And it's Robert.
And it's Robert. And I thought, Mike, this is your worst nightmare.
Something coming over while I'm watching TV.
Yes. Yeah. But maybe now that I know it's Blair Underwood, you wouldn't mind.
There are people that could interrupt but my like, TV watching, and I'd be
like,
fine with
the
that.
The fact that he not only interrupts your TV time, he just joins in.
But if I had a crush on somebody, I'd be very happy about that.
Right. If Blair Underwood interrupted your
TV
time.
I'd be totally fine. Come on over anytime, Blair.
Oh, see, that's nice.
And he's disappointed that Brady's asleep.
Yeah.
He likes kids more than I do.
That's 99% of the population.
And he asked her to explain the TV show, and now he's intrigued.
Jules may be into the girl who works at the sausage shop. Could that be me?
Could be. And I wrote, this is pretty great and awkward.
Yeah, and here's the thing about it. He says he loves a brother with an accent.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing happens.
Yeah, they just watch, but it's, you know, like the sex scene starts and they're just both kind of like, guess we're watching this.
I know, but in Sex and the City, this is the part where they would have sexy time.
Yeah, I think they're older now.
But why is he there then?
To watch the TV show with her.
He's not into her?
I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. Like, there was, like, this wasn't a very Sex and the City moment.
We're taking our time. We're all growing up.
That doesn't happen in Sex and the City.
You're thinking about seasons 2 and 3. This is season 6. We're all growing up except for Samantha.
We're all growing up, yeah. And Carrie.
We have just discussed in recent episodes how Carrie is behaving differently towards men and relationships.
Yeah, but she just hasn't grown up in other ways.
She's not perfect and mature like you.
Yeah.
That night, I decided I couldn't wait for a ring. And so, I gave someone else one.
Hi, it's Carrie Bradshaw. I wanted to let you know that I'm getting married. To myself. Oh, and I'm registered at Manolo Blahnik.
And now Kira has to pay the taxes, which she could have avoided if she had just written a check to Carrie in the first place.
But Linda Evangelista.
Yeah, isn't that funny? That's a weird flub on IMDb. Tell me more. So if you go to IMDb, there's actually...
Because I didn't think that was her, but I was confused.
It's actually... Originally, Linda Evangelista was credited on IMDb, and that's not her. I can look it up real fast. So the actress who plays the sales girl is a woman named Greta Cavazzoni. And if you go to, like, the user reviews, the first one that pops up is a 5-star review that says, Linda was not on it. Because originally in IMDb, they credited her as that character.
Yeah, they credited...
And this person says, I waited till the end of the episode just to see that, in fact, the actress who plays the role is not Linda.
Yeah, that's what... And I'm sure Linda's got some super fans that are pretty pissed.
So, kind of bizarre. Yeah, just a weird IMDb snafu there. And the sales lady asks her to watch her children.
Mm-hmm. We don't want them touching the shoes.
And there's a card, which I guess is nice.
It was my very first wedding present.
And I wrote, those shoes wouldn't make my walk fun. But I'm happy for Carrie.
I was looking at those shoes, and sometimes I think when I see Carrie's shoes that they're really nice shoes and they're beautiful shoes, but they're also like not for jeans. They're for very formal outfits.
Carrie likes a fancy heel. Yeah. I think she's going to wear it with anything.
All right.
She's going to wear those with shorts if she wants to.
A culotte, perhaps.
A culotte.
I couldn't help but wonder if Harry has a bidet.
So he's super clean.
Yeah, because he's been taking a lot of risks.
I couldn't help but wonder. It's what I guess it's what I said earlier, that if I had a $485 pair of shoes, I would not put them out in the... I'd be like, sure, I'll take my shoes off. Where's a closet?
Yeah. Do you have a safe?
Yeah. I would have hidden them somewhere. So I also couldn't help but wonder who took her shoes.
I think it was maybe an accident. I bet he was that kid. She was like, Santa's here. This is what Santa has brought me.
What if something happened in the past? Where, like, you know when you're a little kid and things can get put into your head weirdly? That, like, years ago when she was, like, one or two, Carrie was visiting and they talked about Santa. And this little girl has it impressed in her head that that woman is Santa.
Yeah, like when I found my cousin's bra and she said, stop, that's for my period. And until I was 11, I thought your period came out of your boobs. Like, something like that?
These are things that happen. And that little girl is like, oh, Santa's here. And she'd left a present here for me.
And I'm like, how do you put this tampon in your boob?
In my mind, you were asking that question like in high school in the locker room when you were like 16.
You think I took gym?
Oh, you didn't. You were in the marching band. So there we go. We are coming to the end of this season. 3 more episodes.
Wow.
So we'll be back next week.
Maybe.
Maybe. Bye.
Bye.
You can visit us at wecouldn'thelpbutwonder.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Instagram, all at We Couldn't Help But Wonder with no caps, no spaces, and no punctuation, and Twitter at WCHBW Podcast. You can follow Elise at Evie Castle and me at MikeJensen77. Special thanks to Patrick Hines. Make sure you check out theaterpodcastproductions.com to see all the work that he does. We would love it if you would share this podcast with someone. Put a link on Facebook or tell a friend. Take a moment and rate us on Apple Podcasts, or even better, write a review. And don't forget to change your settings to play in sequential order. We'll be back next week with Boy Interrupted.
So Allison wrote in and was... But hold on. Allison wrote in and wanted to ask, like, but hold on.
I, for a very short amount of time, had white, like, bathroom rugs and
I've never
towels.
Shit the bed, by the way. I just want to make that clear. And I've never peed the bed after, like, elementary school.
Yeah, white doesn't hold up very long.
I just don't want you people thinking I'm constantly pooping the bed.
But you should talk about it more then.
I don't poop the bed.
Samantha's trying to have a working lunch and a child is gross. I don't know if that's what I meant to write, but yeah.
But I thought she'd be older than that. But you know me, just tell me anything and I'll believe it.
Yeah.
Except that I'm a beautiful person.
You are a beautiful person.